My dad joined Starfleet because he believed in it. I joined on a dare.
You joined to see if you could live up to him. You spent all this time trying to be your father. Now you're wondering just what it means to be you.
It isn't uncommon, you know. It's easy to get lost. In the vastness of space, there's only yourself, your ship, your crew.
You really want to head back out there, huh? What the hell is this?
They're boarding us.
So J.J. Abrams is gone off the director's chair. Good, because he probably didn't want to do this shit anyway. And we bring in Justin Lin, and I'm talking about him doing that Star Trek Beyond off the 2009, I don't know what you would call that. I guess, I don't think that's a reboot, but the sequel definitely was a fucking reboot or something. But this one, Star Trek Beyond, we got, you know, your same actors returning, different director though. Simon Pegg co-writing it. Simon Pegg said, "Nah, don't worry about them trailers, y'all. I wrote this shit." And I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I was like, well, it's Simon Pegg. I mean, I know he's done some bad movies without Edgar Wright, but, you know, with Edgar Wright, he's pretty fucking fantastic. So I'll take his word for it. And we open up, we got Chris Pine, who plays Captain James T. Kirk, as always, and they're exploring the further reaches of uncharted space, only to come across a, I don't want to say civilian, but let's just go ahead and say alien civilian, who claims that their ship has been taken by this gravitational pull. Can you help us save them? Oh, before that too, it's a cool ass opening as well with this artifact that later comes up in the film, and these little, these creatures that were, I don't know what the hell these things were, but I ain't gonna lie, they were intimidating until they got close. And I was like, oh, little shits, little furball thing. Okay. So Kirk, he decides, you know what, man, I don't know if I'm really feeling this anymore. He says, I'm thinking of quitting and just retiring to just stay on base, home base. Don't, no more flying explorations and shit like that. Meanwhile, you got Zachary Quinto, who plays Spock in here, who does he does even a better job in this film. I did not like him that much in the second film. I mean, I didn't hate him, but he was getting on my fucking nerves sometimes in that film. And here, I thought he was just perfect. He comes in, he gets news that, you know, the Chief Spock passed away, and that this Spock feels like it's in his duty now to follow in his footsteps. And, you know, maybe it's time for me to step down from the Enterprise. But, you know, these two got their own little secrets going on here that comes back later in the film of, you know, wanting to decide what to do with their careers. But let's go ahead and extravagate this space mission we got from this alien survivor here. So they get there, and it's already a fucking setup. And they look at this chick, and she's just going like, I, and then next you know it, this all hell breaks loose on that Enterprise. I mean, this scene right here, people, I saw it in a digital Dolby screener we had. We had these recliner seats, and screen was covering up the whole damn room and shit. The sounds were in the fucking chair and shit, and it was shaking and all that. There might as well have been D-Box. And when the swarm hit the Enterprise, that shit went flying, baby. I was like, damn, this is much better than anything J.J. Abrams done in these fucking Star Trek movies. I was like, this looks cool as shit. Oh my God, it's blown up. Anyway, let's go ahead. I digress. And that's where we meet the villain, played by Idris Elba. Who's that motherfucker? Crawl. And he wants that artifact I talked about earlier in this review here. He wants that artifact. Why? You don't really know why. He's a badass kicking mass and shit like that. He takes down Enterprise, he adult naps most of the crew except for Simon Pegg, who plays Scott or Scotty in this film. Zoe Saldana gets taken. She's come back at Aurora. Carl Urban, Bones, he doesn't. He's hanging out with Spock most of the film. And Chekhov, Anton Yelchin. So Anton Yelchin is with Kirk. Spock is with Bones. And Simon Pegg is with the new character introduced, who is Jayla, who played by Sophia Boutella, I believe is her last name. Boutella. Yeah, there you go. Which, I'm not gonna lie, I several times I was like, is that Zoe Saldana? Or is that Rihanna? I can't really tell. So then once, you know, all of them get back together, they're finding ways to stop, crawl, retrieve this weapon, because that's what we find out what it is. Retrieve the weapon, make sure he doesn't use it, because Crawl is, he's angry, I guess. Whatever. And there goes your plot synopsis. All right, so let's talk about what I liked about this film. Because I liked it a lot. And I'm not going to lie to you, I've only gotten about 9 hours of sleep this week. I've been busting my ass off. And so when I saw this, I think I had been up and at him since 6:30 in the morning. I was going on, no, actually it was earlier than that. I was going for like 16 hours. So when I saw this, when we had our screener, I was like, oh God, please do not be like Into Darkness, because that shit was such a snooze fest. And I was wide awake for that one. And if this one is just as boring, you're going to be putting me to sleep again here. And I was like, but I got these, and plus I got these nice relaxing chairs. And so I'm like, I appreciate that you guys accommodated us for this critic screener and stuff like that for this. But surprisingly, I was wide awake, though. The action in here is fucking fantastic. It is a lot of fun. I think out of the three, this for me, this is the funnest. I don't really remember the first one that much. I didn't really care for it at all. I think it's okay, but yeah. The second one, I thought was just a fucking snooze fest. I think I gave it a stream it or a rent it. I don't remember. But here, this one's a lot of fucking fun. It explores space like almost like no other in a way. And that was one of my positives at the first half of the film, is just the exploration of space and how they took it that far and stuff, and their witty banter back and forth about sort of the certain areas they were in. And each area looked different too. So their space capades was amazing. I love that part of them. The acting in here, I think, is great on everyone's part except for one, who I'll get into that later. Chris Pine, I mean, he's the man. I mean, I've been saying this for a while. Chris Pine is the leading man. Like, I don't know, he looked a little fat in this role. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, damn, did he gain weight? There was a scene where they showed him and his stomach was still. I was like, whoa, wow. I hope they didn't ask you to be fat for Wonder Woman, or was that the trend for this here? Spock, I think he did a better job in here. They kind of toned that irrelevant bullshit shit he be talking most of the time a little bit more down. And mainly because, I guess, in the darkness, he was on screen more. Even though he is on screen a lot here, he's not overshadowing the other characters like he was in Into Darkness. Bones, breakout star of the film. I thought Bones was hilarious. He was funny. He was on screen a hell of a lot in here. And every time he opened up his mouth, Carl Urban delivered. Did an amazing job. Zoe Saldana, she didn't do a terrible job, but she didn't do an amazing job. She did a good job. She looked fine as hell in this movie. I ain't gonna lie. That space outfit, that little SS Enterprise shit she wears, I'm not gonna lie. That shit is sexy as fuck on her. I mean, it is sexy as hell. I would break that anyway. Simon Pegg, Scotty, co-writer of this film. You can definitely tell that he co-wrote this film, because his ass is in this film a lot more as well, too. But then again, though, he gets as much screen time as all the other side characters as well. I think that was the greatness of this film, is that even though it splits these teams up, or this crew up, into groups of twos or fours or whatever and stuff, they still manage to find a perfect balance to keep the camera on everyone and give them their own story to all mingle up as one. Simon Pegg did an amazing job with that. I know a lot of people go, oh, see, look, Justin Lin is the man or whatever. I was like, I think more of the credit should go to Simon Pegg, because watching this movie, even though I've never watched Star Trek or the shows or anything like that, or at least when I tried to watch them, I just couldn't get into them. Watching this, I could definitely tell that Simon Pegg is a fan of Star Trek, and that he appreciates it, and that he actually kind of loves it in a way. Because there was some stuff I caught in there, but obviously I didn't catch everything, because it has a lot of fan service in the film, and especially this is what someone was telling me, that there's a lot of stuff from Enterprise in this. And I never watched Enterprise, so I just didn't know. But basically, it has a lot of fan service. But the fan service in there is done well because Simon Pegg wrote it where it's not blaring over the fucking screen or anything like that. At least from my eyes. I don't know. I haven't watched Enterprise, so I didn't find them to be that annoying here. Sophia Boutella as Jayla, I thought she was great. I love her little dramatic sense of, you know, how her parents were killed. I even like that, even though this storyline kind of goes nowhere, Chris Pine bringing up his father at least about 3 times in the film, I thought it added a little bit more dramatic depth to the character, if you will, you know, especially in the trailer where he talks about, you know, I joined on a dare, you know, and Bones is telling him, you know, you dreamed of trying to be like your father and now wondering what it's like to be your own man and stuff like that. I thought that was a nice little opening. Plus, it opened up with them, Bones and Kirk at a bar doing it too. And I was just like, oh yeah, oh, they got the good shit. That bourbon, I see it. So it already woke me up right there. I was like, oh, hell yeah. That is some good looking shit right there. Pass that shit. Chekhov, that accent get on my fucking nerves a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, somebody shut him the fuck up, please. But that was more when he was with Kirk when they were doing the team thing. Once he started mingling with other people, it did get on my nerves. But with Kirk, it kind of did. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, somebody shut him the fuck up, please. And now everybody's asking me, what did you think about the villain? Idris Elba, he's your boy this year. He's been killing it in Disney films. He killed it in Jungle Book, Zootopia, Finding Dory, Funniest Part in Finding Dory, Zootopia. I thought he did a great job. In Jungle Book, I said he's fucking trying to steal the spotlight here. Look at this. Might be the best villain of the year. Look at this shit. Now we get to this. And I see that that man can only work with Disney because, damn, that was shit. That was the one thing in this movie I was just like, wow, no matter how many scenes he gets in or whatever, I just cannot get behind this fucking villain. This villain sucks ass. I mean, he sucks ass. I don't know if that's just the trend of this summer, minus Civil War. Is there a villain in Final Door? No, it's not really a villain. I guess villain is Land. The trend of this summer is just for these villains to just suck ass through a straw. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, it's talked about this last week in Ghostbusters with the villain there, just his motivation just being, and nobody gives a fuck, you know? I was bullied. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but people would care if you'd bully. Anyway, though, the thing that made me like that person, though, I guess somewhat like him, is that whenever the camera's on him, he looked like a fucking douchebag. Or I mean, he had these big-ass bulging eyes and shit like that. Or, and when you... So that gives me like at least 20% of liking that villain in a way. And the rest is just his motivation. It's like, oh, it sucks, whatever. Let's just get to going. But in here with Star Trek, I can't even say that about this because Idris Elba... You know, I like the makeup in the trailer. But watching it here, I was like... That motherfucker looked like, what's his name? Adrian from the fucking Mask. When he puts it on and shit, and he, just a kiss. He looks like him. He looks like a cross of that and an Ivan Ooze or some shit like that. He's like a mixture of that. And the way he walks, he's got like this limping posture and shit. And it was just like, yeah, nothing about you just look intimidating at all. And then, oh my God, when he talks. And I don't know if I can blame Idris Elba this much. Maybe more on the direction that they took this character. So I mean, because you don't fucking see Idris Elba until like the end of the film. And when you do, he's kind of like, I really don't give a fuck about your plan right here. But Idris Elba, he was talking. I'm trying to think of a line he said. Oh, yeah. He was like, when Zoe Saldana told him, he's like, our captain... He would have did the same for us. And if he's still alive out there, you better believe he's coming for us. And he was like, I'm counting on it. Like, what, dude, why are you fucking pausing in between words and shit like that? Come on, speed this shit up. I think this movie could have been cut down 15 more minutes based on Idris Elba's dialogue being sped up just a little bit quicker. That motherfucker kept pausing between each word he said. It was just like, we get it, and plus the camera is on your not-so-good-looking makeup as well, too, so can we move that camera along?
And his motivation is just like every other Star Trek villain motivation. They really got to switch these goddamn villains up. He just wants revenge on the Starfleet. That's a, and I say Starfleet, I mean the whole Enterprise and stuff like that. He wants revenge on all of them. Not all of them, because I guess we find out, not until the third act of the fucking film, by the way. Excuse me. Which was another problem, is just because, look, I already don't like this character. But then you wait till the third act to tell me his reasoning, motivation, background, all that shit. It's like, you too late for that. I really just don't give less of a fuck now. But you find out at the end of the film, when they're making their way back home, and they rebuild a ship that was left there hundreds of years ago and stuff, and they just fixed it up so perfectly, that they, he was a warrior. The war was over. He won the war. They stuck him on a plane, or not a plane, they stuck him on one of these spaceships and said, you're going to be captain now. They got caught in this same area that the Captain Kirk and them got caught, and no one came to save them. No one came. At least that's what I'm getting out of this. I could be wrong, people. No one came to get them. And just time passed by, video log after video log, he started losing his mind. They never explained how he became Crawl. They didn't show that at all, and they didn't show how his skin just became so strong, but you could see that he started freaking out, and I don't know what he did. He just kept talking about the technology on this planet. So apparently the technology on this planet got to turn humans into some Adrian Mass-looking motherfuckers or whatever, something like that, you know? I mean, he looked like a crawfish vagina. Somebody's asking me, what the fuck does a crawfish vagina look like? I have no idea myself. I just know that these things probably look like that. But I digress. And then when they find out, oh, who he was a commander and stuff, they were like, oh my God, he's probably gotten off the ship. Because, by the way, it was a funny-ass chase scene. They just come up out the water to smash his ass or whatever. And next thing you know, he's limping out with his little yellow. He's got his outfit back on, his commander outfit and shit. And they don't show you his face, which I did like that they didn't show you his face. But we was like, we already know it's Idris Elba. So it was like, you know, go ahead and show him. And when they finally showed his face, it was all scarred up and shit like that. I was just like, you know, I'd really like more explanation on the technology of what turned him into him. And then he was talking about this device. I guess it was like a spread or whatever. And once it's released, it's going to just suck the life force out of everyone on the fucking planet, I guess. And he just wanted to stop the Enterprise, you know. It was just revenge, basically. I mean, just like every other fuck. I think he was even though I say that this is the most funnest out of the three, I need to go back and watch the first one, though, but I think he is probably the weakest villain out of this whole Star Trek series. I mean, at least with Benedict Cumberbatch, even though he's playing Khan and stuff like that, I think Benedict Cumberbatch still did a good job on portraying that role. I mean, he played a pretty badass, serious role and stuff like that. Regardless of how I feel about the movie, Benedict Cumberbatch kind of sold it. I mean, he didn't sell it as good as the original, but he sold it as enough as he possibly could. Even the first one, I remember even the villain had the same plot, but I was like, yeah, but he still gave a better fucking performance than this shit. And the longer it goes on with Idris Elba, too, because we start finding out all his crew members that are in the things now. Those were his crew back in the day as well. And I remember there was even a line, he's like, my good friend. I was like, damn, dude, are you that fucking kid from Malcolm in the Middle or whatever? That motherfucker in the wheelchair? Please speed this as fuck up. Your friend? This motherfucker had a sidekick in the film. And this dude is showed two times. He don't get a lick of fucking dialogue in this movie at all. He gets one look. Crawl, you got us this far. Let me handle this. And that's it. And I guess they know, he just ever thought he died. He didn't die in the film or whatever. They just had a fight scene and he just got stuck on that planet. But I was like, yo, friend, what? I didn't get that at all. Everything around this villain was just, I thought it was just mediocre and sucked ass through a straw. When you get back to the good side of things, though, I mean, the good people in here, you know, your Captain Kirk and crew. Everything about this film is fun, is exciting. Hell, I even think in some parts, maybe you can throw off the bad villain thing. I mean, hey, I wouldn't even give a fuck about his plan necessarily, neither, if it wasn't for the voice. The voice sucked. No, not Idris Elba, but the way they did it and shit like that. It's like, that fucking sucked. Don't do it that way. They made him like a decrepit old-ass crypt keeper and shit. And it was like, yeah, I know he's been living for hundreds of years, but apparently y'all got the technology to keep his ass alive, which I'm assuming that's what all this makeup and shit is for, but then he can just lose it at the drop of a dime like that? I didn't know that was possible. They should have did more with that, I think, but I digress. Look, the movie clearly has a little bit of problems, whatever, but I think this is a fun action blockbuster summer film. I think it's great. It might even go on my list. It might, after this shitty of summer. I mean, we're getting back-to-back entertaining films. Life of Secret Pets, Ghostbusters, now this or whatever. So we're on a rise right now that, oh my God, at least we're getting one blockbuster that's like popcorn worthy. You know, you sitting like Michael Jackson in the theater going like, oh, that ship is beautiful. And everything around this crew here, they really have great chemistry together. I mean, everything about them. Bones, like I said, he's the highlight of the movie to me. He stole it. Spock, I like that they toned him down more. Well, not toned him down, but didn't give him the full forefront of the screen here. And Kirk, man, come on. Chris Pine is the man. I mean, how could you not like him? I mean, and he's the most toned down one out of the crew because these other crew members are just characters themselves. John Cho's in here. Captain Sulu. Oh, not Captain Sulu in here. He doesn't really do much. I mean, we find Gay Sulu at that, too. You know, he's got a, I think it was a daughter. Yeah, it was a daughter, I believe, and his husband or boyfriend or whatever. And it made, you know, kind of Kirk see that maybe it's more living for than joining space adventures. I'd like to save my crew. You know, the loyalty was there. The bond was there. Everything was great. The only thing I hated in this movie was the villain. Oh, another thing I fucking hated, too. Okay, so you remember that first trailer that sucked ass through a straw with Beastie Boys and Sabotage? Yeah, that's in the movie. And it's a pretty long-ass scene, too. And it's in the third act, too. And it's a surrounding them breaking, I don't want to say Morse code, but the swarm had some own kind of code that they, if they used to break it up, it would just destroy the swarm one by one or whatever. So they played Beastie Boys, Sabotage. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And it was not a good scene at all. I mean, there was a lot of shit blowing up. I mean, it reminded me literally of some Fast and Furious shit. I was like, okay, that's where Justin Lin probably came in. Justin Lin and J.J. Abrams. I know J.J. Abrams is a huge fucking fan of Beastie Boys, so, but there was just shit blowing up, mindless explosions and shit, and then the loud-ass music, and I was like, yep, that's where the Fast and Furious kicks in, probably. That is easily where it kicks in, and it's not a good scene. Shit, some people might even fucking throw up. Right? I'm just saying. Because I ain't gonna lie, it woke me up in a whole nother sense. My eyes got big and it's just like, oh, why did you do that? Oh, my God. You did not see a problem with this scene. Even Simon Pegg's in the background going like, I didn't approve this. I didn't approve it. I can only have so much power. But, no, I had more credit give to Simon Pegg. I'm glad that this, at least for me, worked out for him. So hopefully this makes some money because I'd like to see him writing stuff in the future here. This, for me, final thoughts, great acting except for one character. I don't know if he just did a good job or not, to be honest, because he's covered in all that fucking makeup and talking like that kid from Malcolm in the Middle. So. But chemistry was there between the crew, the space, the exploration of space, where they did it, man, made me feel like I was in a whole nother universe, galaxies and stuff like that. Loved it. Always loving space travels around. You don't stay in one area. Open up the world of space. The visual aspect of it looked amazing. The action here was great. It's entertaining. It's fun as hell. When the swarm hit the Enterprise, it's a beautiful thing, you know. So yeah, I gotta go low see it on this, man. I'm not in a rush to see this again, but if it came home to me, I would definitely watch this again. I'll probably even buy it off of streaming HD. I don't know if I can go so far as wanting the Blu-ray because even though I like this film, a lot of it was entertaining. Yeah, I'm still not finding the thing to captivate me and get me on this Trekkie fan base, if you will, here. I mean, I actually was thinking about that the whole time. It's like, look, I'm enjoying this film, but not on a level where it's making me want to become a Star Trek fan or anything like that. I am more curious to see more films, whatever, just for the exploration of space itself and see what they can do with it. But I'm just not on that level of, you know, jumping on the fan base level yet, and even to wanting to own the movie or not. If it was like for, you know, the $6.99 download HD version or whatever, I'd probably get that and stuff, maybe watch it one more time. But low see it for me. I am still looking forward to more Star Trek movies just because I'm wanting to find that one Star Trek movie that just hits me on the hand and just say, okay, I'm a Star Trek fan now. This one didn't quite do it for me yet, but it feels like we're getting closer and closer to that level. I don't know if it's just the characters themselves why, you know, I just can't gravitate towards more of them, but I enjoyed the fuck out the film. I think you will too. See it in the biggest screen possible. I think it's in IMAX 3D. We didn't have 3D, but we had, like I said, the digital Dolby surround sound bullshit stuff, whatever, and that was pretty damn fantastic. So see it in that. I know AMCs have that. See it in the IMAX, whatever you can see it. This is definitely a summer blockbuster here. And with this track of summer films here, this is probably the best you're going to get. Well, until Suicide Squad comes out, at least.
I know why you're here. Why we are all here. Our captain will come for us. Mercy will be the last thing on his mind.
I am counting on it.
Fear of death is illogical. Fear of death is what keeps us alive.
Everyone who goes there, he kills.
That's our friends out there. We can't just leave them behind.
Unity is not your strength. It's a weakness.
I think you're underestimating humanity.
Hold on to something! Fire will! Do it! Do it!
Pardon me.
He likes that scene.